Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, the very beginning of the Mishneh Torah. Three important points before we begin the actual text. Because this is the beginning of a Sefer, Sefer Hamada, the Rambam begins with an appropriate pasuk from Tehillim. In this case, the pasuk is Meshoch Chastecha Liodecha, V'tzidkatcha liyishrei lev. Bestow your kindness on those who know you, and your righteousness on those who are upright. The connection, of course, to Sefer Hamada is that word liyodecha, those who know you. Sefer Hamada, the book of knowledge, as we discussed in the introduction, is all about knowing God and mitzvot that pertain to our direct relationship with God. Number two is that because this is the beginning of a set of halachot, so the Rambam in his koteret, his heading to these halachot, lists all the mitzvot of the 613 mitzvot that will be discussed in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. He lists 10. We won't go through all 10 now, but I'll just note that the first three we will encounter in today's perek, so we'll be on the lookout for those. The third important point is that elsewhere in the Rambam's writing, in his commentary on the Mishnah, the Rambam has a list of 13 fundamental principles of faith. These are well known because they form the basis of the prayer of Yigdal that we say some every morning, some say it Friday night after davening. Each of the 13 lines of Yigdal summarizes one of the Rambam's fundamental principles of faith. Over the course of Sefer Hamada, we will encounter most of the Rambam's 13 principles. And in fact, the first four of them we will encounter in today's parak. Halach Aleph Yesod HaYesodot VeAmud HaChochmot, the most fundamental point and the pillar of all of knowledge. Notice, by the way, that the Rambam begins his Sefer with the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, or the acronym of these first four words, Yisod HaYisodot VeAmud HaChochmot. Leida Sheyesh Sham Matsui Rishon, is to know that there exists a first cause, V'hu Mamtzi Kol HaNimtza, that which is responsible for the existence of everything else. V'chol HaNimtzaim Min HaShemayim VaAretz U'ma Beinihem Lo Nimtzu'u Ela Me'amitat Himatzo. Nothing else can exist except by virtue of this, the existence of this prime cause. And of course, as we'll see shortly, this prime cause is what we call God. If we were to fathom that this prime cause does not exist, nothing else could exist. Notice that the Rambam is not saying that God created everything else. He's saying something much more fundamental, which is that even on a constant moment-to-moment basis, if God were not to exist, nothing else could exist. God's existence is responsible. It's the reason why anything else at all can exist in the first place. Halacha Gimel, v'im yale al hadat she'ein kol hanimtzaim milvado mitzuyim, hu lvado yeh matzui velo yivtal hu levitulam. If, on the other hand, if everything else were to cease existing, this prime cause would continue to exist. He is not dependent on them. They require his existence, but he does not require theirs. Therefore, the truth of the existence of this prime cause is not like the truth of the existence of anything else, because anything else is contingent on the existence of the prime cause, but it is not contingent upon them. Halacha Dalet. Hu shanavi omer v'ashem elokim emet. This is what the Navi Yirmiyah refers to in the Pasuk. God is true. Hu levado emet, vein lacher emet kamito. He alone represents truth. Nothing else is truth on the same level as God. V'ushatar omeret ein od milvado. The Pasuk in Devarim says there is nothing else aside from him. Meaning, klamar ein sham matzui emet milvado kmoto. There is nothing else like God in the sense that it must exist, in the sense that it cannot cease to exist. Only God has that property. Halacha hei hamatzui hazeh hu eloka haolam. This prime cause is, in fact, the God of the world. Adon kol haaretz, master of the world. V'hu manhig ha-galgal b'koach she'ein lo keis v'tachlit, b'koach she'ein lo hefsek. The term galgal, we'll see in Perek Gimel, refers to the Rambam's conception of the universe, that there is a series of celestial spheres, each of which contains some of these celestial bodies, and it turns, it constantly turns, hence the motion of the celestial bodies that we perceive, and it is God which is responsible for the movement of this galgal, in a movement that never ceases. It cannot possibly turn without some force, some power turning it. And it is God who turns this galgal, who makes it continue to move without a hand, without anything corporeal, without a body. That's something the Rambam will expand on a little later in this parak. Halacha vav, v'idiat davar zeh, the knowledge of this basic fact. Mitzvah taseh, this is the first mitzvah. Shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecha. The first of the Aseret HaDibrot, I am God. The Rambam understands this to be a mitzvah, to know this this fact about God, that He is the prime cause of the existence of everything else. V'chol ha'ma'ale al da'ato she'yesh ha'meloa acher chutz mize avar b'lo ta'aseh. Anyone who thinks that there is a God other than this one is in violation of a mitzvah lo ta'aseh. Shenemar lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. That's the second of the Aseret HaDibrot. V'kafar b'ikar, he is a heretic. Shezeu ha'ikar gadol shakol talui bo. This is the fundamental principle that everything else depends on. I'll just mention in passing that many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and believe that that you cannot count belief in God as a mitzvah because it's the precondition for all mitzvot, and so it can't count as a mitzvah itself. However, the Rambam, I think, that the Rambam doesn't think the mitzvah is just to believe in God in the simple sense of affirming that it's true that God exists. He thinks that that this mitzvah is the knowledge of this understanding of God as being this prime cause that to which everything else owes its existence. And as we'll see, this is something the Rambam feels a person can arrive at through philosophical investigation. And so the mitzvah is not, you know, simple belief, but really to know and to understand this basic philosophical truth. Halacha Zayin. Eloka zeh, this God, echadhu, he is one. Eino lo shnayim lo yoter al shnayim, they're not multiple gods. Ela echad she'en kiyuchudo, echad min achadim anayim tsa'im ba'olam. This God is a single unit, unlike anything else in the world. Lo echad kamin shu kolel achadim harbei. Velo echad kaguf shu nechlak l'machlakot v'liksavot, el yichud she'en yichud acher kamoto ba'olam. When we talk about most other things as being one, but that one consists of numerous parts and can be broken down into parts. However, God cannot be broken down into any kind of part. He is one unified whole, indivisible. Here the Rambam attempts to prove that God must be completely unified, because he says if there were more than one part to God, then the only way those parts could be distinguished would be through some kind of physical characteristics. The only way we can distinguish between two things in general is by saying one is light and one is dark, one is big and one is small. They would have to have some kind of physical characteristics. But as we'll see, God has no physical characteristics. And so he must be one unified, indivisible whole. God cannot possibly have any physical characteristics, because then he would be finite. Nothing physical can last forever. However, the God we are talking about, since his power has no end and never ceases, because after all, the galgal, that celestial sphere, keeps moving without stopping at all. Ein kocho koach guf. He cannot possibly have any body. And since he has no body, he cannot have any physical characteristics. And therefore, he must be one unified whole. Because, as we said, anything that's not unified, but is multiple parts, can only be perceived, and those parts can only differ from each other through some kind of physical characteristics. V'di'at davar zeh mitzvah taseh. This is the third mitzvah we've come across in this perek. This is knowledge of the unity of God. Shemar Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We say Shema Yisrael every morning and every evening, that God is one. We mean not only that there is no other God, but that God himself is totally unified, does not consist of component parts. It should be emphasized that the Rambam is not referring here to the mitzvah of reciting Kriyat Shema. That mitzvah the Rambam discusses in Hilchot Kriyat Shema. This is a mitzvah of belief, which appears in the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. So, for instance, women who are exempt from the mitzvah of reciting Kriyat Shema, because it is a mitzvah of Seisha Zman Grama, would still be obligated in the mitzvah of belief in the oneness of God. It's explicit in the Torah and the Navi that Hashem does not have any physical manifestation. He's not doesn't have any body. Shemar ki Hashem hu Elokim Hashemayim al v'haris mitachat. The pasuk in Devarim. We also say in Aleinu, says that God is in the sky and also on the ground. V'aguf lo yeh b'shnei mekomot. A physical body cannot be in two places at once. V'namar ki lo ritem kol tmuna. At Har Sinai, the Torah emphasizes we did not see anything physical. V'namar v'almi tidamyuni v'eshveh. The Navi Yeshayahu says, to whom can you compare me? As if to say that there's nothing physical about God, and therefore he cannot be compared to anything else. If God were physical, he could be compared to other physical things. Halachatet imkein, the Ramana asked a question on his own statement until now. Imkein mahu zesh namar b'Torah v'tachad raglav. But the Torah speaks, and this is in Shemot Perkaf Dalid, Ramad Har Sinai, about something being underneath God's feet. How can that be if God has no physical existence? Ketuvim be'etzba Elohim. The luchot written with God's fingers. What does that mean? Yad Hashem, Einei Hashem, Ozne Hashem. Different psukim speak about God's hand or arm, God's eyes, God's ears. How can this be if God has no body? Hakol lefi datan shel bnei adam hu she'inan makirin el hagufot. So all this is just to make things easier for people to understand, because people understand bodies. And so to speak about God, we'll use an analogy, as if to talk about God's eyes, God's ears, etc. But of course, no such things exist. It's just to make it easier, more easily comprehensible to the human reader. V'dibra ha-Torah k'lashon b'nei adam, v'akol kinuyim heim. These are all just appellations, not representing reality. K'mo shemar im shanoti b'rak charbi, v'chicher v'yeshlo v'cher v'choreg, el mashal l'kol mashal. Just like the pasuk in Hazinu talks about God using a sword, but of course God has no sword. That's a human implement. That's rather meant to be an analogy, and so too every time God is referred to in any kind of physical sense, it's all analogy. Vayal devar zeh, proof for this, shenavi achad omer shera'a kadosh baruch hu levushei kitlag chivar. Daniel refers to Hashem as wearing something white as snow. V'acheraahu chamutz begadim mibotzra. Someone else, another Navi Yeshayahu, refers to seeing God returning from the city of Botzra in red clothes. So he can't be wearing white and wearing red. These are all analogies. Moshe Rabbeinu atzmo ra'ahu al hayam ki gibor oseh milchama v'sinai kishlech tzibur atuf. Moshe Rabbeinu perceived God at the Yam Suf as a warrior, and at Har Sinai he perceived God as a chazan, a shlich tzibur, wrapped in a talit. Lamar she'ein lo d'mut v'tzura. This is all to say that God doesn't have any real form. El hakol b'mar'eh ha'nevuah u'machazeh. All this is just how humans perceive him, in this case how Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevi'im perceived God. Hamitata devar ein datosh adam yicholel ha'sigo l'chakro. In reality, God, the human knowledge, human comprehension, cannot fully understand God. V'zeo shemar katuva cheker eloa nimtza ima tachlit shakai timtza. As the pasuk in Iov, where one of Iov's friends tells him, you cannot possibly understand God in a complete sense, because God is incomprehensible to human beings. Halacha yud, ma'u zeh shebikesh Moshe Rabbeinu la'asig yishamar harinan al kevodecha. Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem after Chet Ha'egel, show me your glory. And yet, if it's impossible to perceive God, what is Moshe asking for? Bikesh leida amitati matzo shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu ad sheyadu b'libo kmo yidat echad min hashim shera'a panav nechakat tzurato b'kirbo. The Rambam explains that when Moshe asked to see God, it wasn't literally to see, but it was to understand God. Okay, in this sense, the English is a good analogy, where in English we say, when we understand something, we say, oh, I see, right? I understand it. So that's how the Rambam understands this pasuk as well. That Moshe wanted to understand God the way that a person understands another person and recognizes him and, you know, and has a mental image of him. So Moshe also wanted to have this kind of same mental image of God. When a person knows someone else, so that person is distinct in his mind from all other people. Moshe wanted to understand the nature of God's existence as separate from how he understands the existence of everything else. Hashem responded to him that it's impossible for a living being to understand God to that extent. Shum uchubar b'guf ha'nefesh, a living being being physical. La'asig amitat davar zeh al b'riyo. So you cannot understand God's existence in a complete sense. V'hodiyo baruch hu ma shelo yada adam l'farav v'lo yada al acharav. However, God did reveal to Moshe what no one else knew before him or after him. Ad shi sigma mitati matzo, devar shenifrad, hakadosh baruch hu bedato, mishar nimtzaim, kmo shi pared echad min hanashim shera'a achorav, v'yisi kol gufo umalusho bedato mishar hanashim. However, Moshe was able to, you know, his request was partially fulfilled. He was able to perceive God, not in the full sense of as if, you know, the same way you perceive someone by knowing his face, but rather he was able to perceive God in the way that you perceive someone by seeing his back, meaning partially understanding God, but not fully. And that's why God told him, you will see my back, but not my front, as if to say you will be able to perceive me and understand me as you know someone who you see from the back, partially, but not completely. Halachir Aleph, v'kivan shin farer she'eno guf u'gvia, yitpa'er shelo ye'er'o v'lo echad mima'oret ha'guf. Since God is not physical at all, he cannot have any physical characteristics. Lo chibur v'lo perud, lo makom v'lo midah. He cannot be connected or disconnected. He cannot have a certain location or a certain measurement. Lo aliyah v'lo yiridah. God cannot be up or be down. He doesn't have a place. Lo yamin v'lo shmal. Cannot be to the right or to the left. Lo pani v'lo achor. Cannot have a front. Cannot have a back. Lo yishiva v'lo amidah. Cannot be sitting. He cannot be standing. Ve'ino matzoi bezman ad shielo reshit v'acharit u'minyan shanim. God also cannot be said to have an existence within time. God exists outside the framework of time. He has no beginning and no end, and cannot be said to be some number of years old. And God also cannot change, because being not physical, there's nothing that can cause any change in him. Here I'll just point out, I mentioned earlier the Rambam's 13 fundamental principles of faith. So we've already seen in this parak the first four. The first is God's existence. The second is God's unity. And we saw that each of those, there's a mitzvah asay to believe in. The third of the fundamental principles is the incorporeality of God. God has no body or any physical characteristics. And the fourth, it was just mentioned now, is that
God
exists outside the framework of time. The Rambam goes on, Ve'ein lo lo mavet ve'lo chayim kechayi haguf hachay. We cannot speak of God in terms of death or life. V'lo sichlut v'lo chokhma, ko chokhma te'isha chacham. We cannot speak of God in terms of wisdom or foolishness. V'lo shina v'lo hakatsa. We can't speak of God being asleep or awake. V'lo kas v'lo schok.
No anger and no levity in reference to God.
V'lo simcha v'lo atzvut. Not happy or not sad. V'lo shtika v'lo dibur ki dibur ha'adam. We cannot speak of God being silent or speaking the way a person speaks. Kach emru chachamim. Ein l'malah v'lo yeshiva v'lo amidah. V'lo oref v'lo ipuy. This is what Chazal said, that when reference to God, there is no sitting nor standing, there is no back, and there is no fatigue. Halach yedbet v'ohil adar kein. Who called the Ramalalu Chayutseba and Shinamu Batorab and Ranavim, Hakom Mashal Umilitzahim, Kamoshin Amar Yoshev, Bashraim Yishak, Kyasumi Bavlehem, Kasher Sas Hashem, Chayutsebahen. All these psukim that speak about God being laughing or being angry or being happy, these are all
metaphors and analogies to make it easier for a person to understand what the Torah is trying to say, but these are not actually aspects of God himself at all.
About all these kinds of things, it is said the Torah speaks in a way that a person, that people can understand it. Similarly, in Yirmiyah, when he says that people are angering God, God cannot actually be angered. Ani Hashem lo shaniti. Pasuk in Malachi says, I am God, I have not changed. There is no change in God. God is constant, and therefore there can be no feelings one way or another. If God were sometimes angry and sometimes happy, then God would be changing periodically. All of these attributes of feelings and change, those are only attributes of lowly bodies, physical bodies. Shochnei batei chomer asher bafari sodam. That is, people who dwell in bodies which come from the dirt. Aval hu baruch hu yitalev yitramim al kol zeh. God, however, is above all of this.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.